The title of this lesson is Counting the Cost of Following Jesus. I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about myself as when I first came to the Lord. When I first came to the Lord, I was ignorant of really what the Bible said, what it was teaching, what I should do. And if someone would have told me that I needed to count the cost for following Jesus at that particular time, I would have rebelled, because being young in the faith, you just don't know what it's all about until you get into the Word of God and start studying and start growing. And the more you grow in the Word of God, the more you realize what God has done for us and what He wants us to do, and we must count the cost of following Jesus. Now, one of the things that I have noticed when I've tried to share with people, I try to inform them the cost of following Christ, what it really means to be a Christian. And some people, they grasp that idea quickly. And then there's others, they just don't seem to get it. They don't seem to get that to be a Christian, it's going to cost you something. And so hopefully with this lesson tonight, you can look at yourself and you can look around at others who are not here, who should be here, who's not counting the cost of being a Christian, and try to share with them what is involved. In this world, we invest in our old age. Jobs allow you to have 401k plans, and we say we go to financial people to help us to save some money so when we get old, we can have a life of somewhat of luxury. But we never think about what is going to happen after we die. That's not something that we think about. But as you study God's Word, you realize that God is telling us that we will not be here in this world for a very long time. It will come to an end. And when it come to an end, where will we spend eternity? And so Jesus has been telling us that we must lay up our treasures in heaven. So that means as individuals now, we should be working to build up that treasure in heaven. And there's things that we have to do to be pleasing to God to get us to heaven. And this is what we want to talk about tonight. As a Christian, like I said, as a new babe, you really don't understand what it means to follow Christ. You can look around at all the different religions today, and it's a joke of what Christianity is to them. It's a real joke. But to the Christian, we're told that we must follow Christ with everything we have. We must do the right thing. In the scripture that was read for us, Luke 14, starting at verse 27, "And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Now, I've given lessons before, and they were entitled Remembering Who God Is. And I tried to stress, you need to remember what the Bible is teaching. And then I remember telling some that when you look at the passage of Scripture, what is it telling you? Because if you don't understand what it's telling you, then you're not going to do what it said. Now, this first verse says, whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. So we need to understand, what is Jesus talking about bearing his cross? Well, I believe he's saying the things that I went through, you may have to go through some of those things if you're going to be my disciple. You got to be faithful, because he was faithful to God. He did everything God required of him. And if we're going to say we belong to him, then we must do everything he tells us if we want to be his disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against a king does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Again, I stress this. We have members that are not here. Why? They're not willing to forsake certain things to be here on the Lord's day, to worship God, to do what he says we must do. And we need to inform them that if they do not change, life will be difficult for them. And they are not a disciple of Jesus Christ. Following Christ comes with a cost. You got to forsake things. No matter what the consequences are, we must put Jesus Christ first. In Matthew 16:24, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? I have grown up as a Christian. And if there was anything that came along, it would not keep me from being here to worship God. But when I was younger, and really not knowing what the Bible taught, I allowed certain things to keep me from worshiping with the saints. I tell this story. It is somewhat humorous. But it will never happen to me again. The only thing that I believe that will keep me from not being here with you is if I'm in the hospital or dead. But when I was younger, There was a television program on that was entitled Battlestar Galactica. And I enjoyed that show. And it was coming on Sunday afternoon at the time that we were supposed to be at worship. And I chose not to come, to stay home and watch Battlestar Galactica. I received a phone call because I knew it was coming. And says, is everything all right? Yeah. How come you wasn't at service? Well, I knew better than to lie. I said, I stayed home to watch Battlestar Galactica. And I got to chew it out. I didn't argue because he was right. I should have been there with the saints. One other time, I was into softball with the Air Force. And we was in the championship. And I always tried. I made sure that I was the coach, that I would schedule things to where it would never interfere with a Wednesday or Sunday. But this particular time, I couldn't do it. And I knew this game of importance was on a Wednesday. And I told the team, I said, I can't be there. I got to go to church. Now, I'm not the greatest person on the team, but, I mean, with me there, we seem to have some good fortune. And the team begged me, Cookie, you got to be there. We're going to lose. And I was weak. I said, okay. We was playing softball, and I was, I think, a little bit larger than this. And once you get this mass moving, it's kind of hard to stop it. And I was on third base, coming in. I made it in, but I sprained my ankle. And you know what the first thing that came into my mind? God got you. I never did that anymore. So all I'm saying is when you're young, there's things that you don't know. You don't count the cost. But as you get older, you realize where am I supposed to be upon the first day of the week or the time that the congregation has set aside to worship God. But there are a lot of religions today who do not sit down to count the cost of being a servant of God. This song that we sang here, make me a servant, just like your son. For he was a servant. Please make me one. Make me a servant. Do what you must do. To make me a servant, make me like you. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be like Jesus Christ. Make me a servant. Take all my pride. For I would be lowly, humble inside. Given to others with all that I do. In love for my brethren, make me like you. Make me a servant filled by your might. And may all my labors shine with your light. Show me your footsteps and what I should do. For now and forever, make me like you. That's what we ought to be. Not selfish. Jesus counted the cost, and the cost for him to come here was to die for us. So now, if he was willing to die for us, to save us, shouldn't we be willing to do what he says to get to heaven. Shouldn't we be willing, if that is the case, to give our lives for our brethren? You know, I've heard that statement quite a while as a Christian. You should give your life for your brethren. And I've thought about that. I believe I am at close to the point that I wouldn't think about giving my life for y'all. Close. A long time ago. But Jesus didn't do that. He gave his life for each and every one of us. We should be grateful, and we should be praying to make us be like him. So if we must give our lives for one another, we wouldn't think about it. That's what being a disciple of Christ is all about. Serving one another and serving God. Jesus in John 6 is trying to tell people something that they could not understand. Starting in verse 47, he says, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life." Again, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which come down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give him is my flesh, which I should give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drink my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drink my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever." These things he said in the congregation as he taught in Capernaum. That's kind of difficult to digest. And all those folks had to do, if they wasn't sure what he was saying, was to ask him. But we kind of have a better picture of what he was talking about, because we just partook of his body and partook of his blood. The Lord's Supper that he instituted, he said, "Do these things in remembrance of me." If we partake of the Lord's Supper the way we're supposed to, and live the way we're supposed to, we have eternal life. But we know most of those people that heard this, they turned away. And the reason why they was following him at the time was because he was feeding them. You know, when you start giving things away to people, they will come. They will follow you. But then when you start making demands upon them that they don't like, they're going to stop. And the only demands that Jesus was making on anyone is to live your life faithfully all the way to the end, and you will have eternal life. But they couldn't see that. And so a lot of them turned away. We need to remember, and this is something that I've said before, and some people get upset with it. The Word of God, and this is my turn, the Word of God weeds out people. It causes people to say, nope, I can't do this. Because when people hear what God has to say and they do not like it, they quit. Like we have read in Isaiah, God says, my word goes forth. It do exactly what I say. It does not come back void. So as we read the scriptures, we need to understand if God is telling us something to do and we don't like it, guess what it's telling us? But if we see his word and says, yep, no matter what he's saying, I am going to do it. But if you fall away because of his word, that's the means of weeding you out. You will not have eternal life. You're not willing to take the cross and follow him. In John 6, starting with verse 60, Therefore many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are real. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were and who did not believe and who would betray him. And he said, therefore, I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. They could not understand what he was trying to tell them. See that weeding out process? If you don't listen, if you don't like it, you're going to leave, and that's going to be your downfall. Just like many of us today, we will follow the words of Christ as long as everything is hunky-dory. Everything is fine. When life is treating us grand, we follow after Jesus. But you know, the Bible teaches us that life is not going to always be to our liking. It's just not going to happen. And you know, in this congregation, I have seen some things that has helped me to grow. And that is with the Buntings, Charlotte. There's a lot of people that would not do what the Buntings are doing. They're going to blame God for the circumstances. It's not God. They are doing what God requires them to do for their child. And that has given me courage to go on. It's when loved ones get sick and they're dying. People fall away. People blame God. Why, God? Why are you doing this to me? Why are you taking my loved one? Well, see, first of all, we should understand, I mean, simple life tells us you're born and you die. That's something that's going to happen. But one of the things the Bible constantly tells us is that we must prepare ourselves for death. And so that's why we must learn what is required for eternal life. And Jesus is telling us we must bear our cross. Because there will come a time when us or our loved ones will die. I've said this to people from time to time. And it seemed like this month, last month, there's been quite a few people that I've been aware of that have passed away. I was at work the other day, and this lady that I knew, she came in and was talking, and she said, "My husband just died yesterday." So I tried to say some things to her. But I know death comes. And one of the things that I tell people, you know, I said, I try and I want to try to be the right person so when it is my time to die and people hear about, you know, Cookie died yesterday, I hope no one will ever say, "Well, good. I'm glad he's gone." Because that meant, first of all, I wasn't the Christian that I was supposed to be. I wasn't living my life to try to influence people to do the right thing. Here's something else that it's not hard doing that on your job to show people that you are trying to do something right. There's this worker. Me and him have a little running things, you know. I'm always trying to scrounge. And occasionally, you know, they have different types of mixed nuts that is there, it's broken and gives. So I'm always saying, "Hey, man, where's my mixed nuts?" And so he said, "Well," I came in and I said, "I don't want to talk to you no more." He said, "Wait a minute." He says, "You're supposed to be a Christian. You're supposed to love me." I said, "I do love you, but I don't want to talk to you." And we had a laugh. But he has seen the way I've been out there. And I've been there for 8 years. So evidently I'm doing something right. And we all are supposed to do that on our job. Counting the cost means we got to behave in a certain manner in which people can recognize something in us. I'm always trying to look for that opportunity to teach somebody the gospel. That's what we all got to do. And if you're not doing that, then something is wrong. We need to keep in the back of our minds that Jesus has the words of eternal life. And no matter what the disappointments in life is, we still got to do it. I had someone tell me that you just don't know the problems that I'm having. No, I don't. But I do know this, irregardless of what problems you got, you're still supposed to be faithful to God. You're supposed to put it in His hand. Trust in Him, and if it's according to His will, everything will be fine. But if it isn't, you still must do what He said. For example, John 8:31. "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Simply put, trust Jesus, do what he says, irregardless of the circumstances, and you will be found pleasing to him. Otherwise, you're not pleasing to him, and when you face him, you're going to hear, "Be gone from me, because you didn't do what I asked." And our goal is to find our name in the book of life. That's what it's all about. So that means we must do things that the world is not going to understand. You know, one of the interesting things is us older folks that have a mate that is a Christian, we can help one another. And you know, parents, we can try to encourage our children to do the right thing. But the children must learn for themselves to do the right thing. They must have their own faith into doing what God says. And I am aware of some that when they leave home, they do their own thing. They have their own religion, or they have no religion. But the bottom line still is this: you must obey God or you won't get to heaven. And so all I'm saying for us parents that have our children, try to encourage them, try to let them know that you must be faithful to God. We must tell them the consequences of them not being faithful. Another thing, since I've been here, I've been built up by people that I know that they will tell their stories that at one time they fell away from the Lord, but they came back. And that's great. They realized somewhere along the line the cost of not serving God, and they came back. That doesn't mean everybody else is going to come back. But we need to try to tell our young people, don't ever get to that position, because you may not come back. Follow Jesus today and every day of your life, because you may not come back. In James 2, 1-9, "My brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. For if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings and fine apparel, and there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say to him, 'You sit here in a good place,' and say to the poor man, 'You stand there,' or 'Sit here at my footstool.' Have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and their heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Do not the rich oppress you and drag you into the courts? Do they not blaspheme that noble name by which you are called? If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you should love your neighbor as yourself. You do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. There's a lot that the Bible teaches that we are not supposed to be partial. So when we have the opportunity to speak the gospel, we should speak the gospel to those that's in the gutter as well as those that's well-dressed. And you know, a lot of times the ones in the gutter will accept the word of God quickly than those at the top. Our job is to share. Our job is to take up that cross and to go where the people are and try to teach them the gospel. One of the things that when we try to invest in the treasures of heaven, that means we should be willing to do a few things. We should be willing and quick to learn what the Bible says. We should be willing to do things in the congregation. That helps build us up. If we sit back and become a pew warmer, we'll never grow. You know, you take people that start working and they want to reach a certain goal in the job market, they will do everything they can to get up there. That means they'll go back to school. That means they'll work long hours. That means that they will participate in everything there is to get them to that goal. Why is it so hard to get people to do things in the Lord's church? To be teachers, to be helpers. What is it about serving the Almighty God? That's investing in your future in heaven. But if you invest in the world and you're not careful, the world will take you out. What is amazing, and I believe most of you are aware of this, in a lot of congregations, when we meet together, it's not that very long. Basically, if we figure it out, it's an hour for Bible study, hour for service, hour in the afternoon, an hour on Wednesday. And we have folks not truly willing to give the 4 hours or 4.5 hours or whatever serving the Lord. But what I've noticed when it comes to, say, reading the newspaper, folks will read it from the beginning to the end. When it comes to sitting down and watching TV, it'll be 6 or 7 hours watching TV. When it comes to playing video games, they'll be there forever. But if you said, let's give some time to the Lord, ooh, I ain't got time. I can't do that. Why? Who are you serving? Why not serve the Lord? Do good for Him instead of for yourself. Because doing it for yourself is not going to get you to heaven. You know, like I said, when I first became a Christian, I thought things was interesting. The first time I visited the Lord's body, And I heard them people singing. And I said, woo, that's terrible. And look at me today. Can't wait till we sing. How did it become a joy now instead of terrible? Well, you learn what the Lord says. You do it with your mouth instead of with instruments. So you've taken up your cross and said, you know, I am going to do exactly what the Lord says, irregardless of the circumstances, I am going to do, no matter what it takes. I was on my way home, and this was on Lansing, because I was trying to get into Dorchester, and I happened to look to my left, and I wasn't really sure what I saw, but I looked. There was a guy walking, carrying a cross. But he made it easy. He had wheels on it. He really wasn't struggling with a heavy cross. He put wheels to make it easy. And I said, you know, that's interesting. He was trying to make some sort of statement. But I don't believe it was the same statement that Jesus was trying to tell us when he said, lift up your cross and follow me. That means exactly what he tells us to do. And the only way that we can know exactly what he tells us to do is get in the Bible and do not deviate whatsoever. And you know, the more you grow in the Lord, the more you love what he says. When you first beginning, you're not going to like this. This is too much restriction. There's one other point. When you first become a Christian, you may have all kinds of friends. And when you realize I cannot associate myself with these friends anymore, they pull away. Because they say something's wrong with you. You are strange. But you know, I would prefer to hear God says, well done, my good and faithful servant, than to have my friends say these things and change my mind and go be with them. It ain't worth it. So I hope that you look at the cost that it will cost you to follow Christ. And sometimes in the physical sense, it's outstanding. But for God, it's just a piece of cake. It's heaven. And that's what we're all striving to do here, is to get to heaven. And the only way we can do that is when he says, do, we do, and be happy in doing it. If there's anything that you need from this congregation, the prayers, we ask that you make it known as we stand and sing this song.